from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
And James Hamm is here with us. I'd get an Angel Reese jersey.
I'm going to get an Angel Reese
jersey. Think the Chicago jerseys are nice.
I'm going to get one, but it has to be after my Asia Wilson jersey.
Okay. Well, I can't call you out because you finally did get your Malik Monk jersey. What's up, Hammer?
What's going on, guys?
Hammer, we managed to get like an hour and 13 minutes out of Orlando Anderson. It was pretty awesome.
We had
Orlando
two Robinson. Reports.
Orlando Robinson, not the
Orlando
guy who
Anderson,
shot Tupac.
Johnson,
not
sure.
The guy who Robinson. Shot Tupac.
Yeah. We got two scouting reports.
We got on the ground at Fresno State breakdowns of this show. I mean, I think my number one takeaway today, whether he plays for the Kings or not, he seems to be a very liked young man,
respected young man. Yeah, by the people who see him.
This is the second Orlando the Kings have signed during my time here. So Orlando Johnson, Orlando Robinson.
Orlando Johnson, so I do remember him. I was trying to figure out who it was. Yeah,
it was a few years back. So, yeah, I don't know.
Well, at least it's not Orlando Jones at this point. I don't think we could have handled that.
No. And at least it's not Orlando Anderson.
Well, he's dead.
Well, the name at least.
Yeah.
Wow.
James, if you're not caught up, Orlando Anderson is the guy who most people believe shot Tupac Shakur.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You could tell all your friends at game night about that.
No, one time when I was in Vegas for Summer League, I was with Blake Ellington, who used to cover the Kings and was one of my partners on Small Market Big Heart. And he is a huge Tupac guy and wanted to go see where Tupac was shot and killed. And we actually drove to like the parking lot. It's just there's nothing there. There wasn't there.
The Las Vegas Strip falls off a cliff once you get to that.
Right.
And it's literally the next block over. And it's
people always say, how did he get away in Vegas? Well, go to that part of Las Vegas and you'll see why.
Yeah.
Falls off a cliff.
Kind of bizarre, but I the signing, this is one of those deals where I kind of want to see the contract before we make any rash judgment here. The Kings last summer did this same thing with guys like Nerlens Noel and Nemias Keita, where they signed him to deals that gave him some guaranteed money, and then you don't know what it looks like once they get to camp, and they might have to prove it. Then again, it could be a full-fledged, standard, full guaranteed NBA contract. I'm just going to guess that it's not, because anytime you see a one-year deal in the NBA, it's not usually the best of the best contracts. So we'll have to see what it looks like. But as a 14th man on the roster, he has the length, the athleticism. He's been with the Miami Heat, which is, for my money, the best development program in the NBA and has been for a decade at least. Why not take a gamble on a 24-year-old kid with some upside?
And that's where I was at, really, James. I don't know if he's going to play, if he's going to stay on the roster or whatever the case may be. But this feels like the guy that – a type of guy that you take a chance on. You know, young guy, he's got size, defender, everything we're learning right now, hard worker, and he's young and he's cheap. Why not bring him in? See if it's a guy that you could develop. And if you're a franchise like the Sacramento Kings, you may need one or two of those type of guys, right? Like, you're going to need to find a guy kind of out of nowhere that turns into a rotation guy for you.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially, I mean, before this move, like, the Kings only have Domantas Sabonis and Alex Lynn at the center position. Like, you don't want to go into the season with five centers on your roster like they have in the past, but certainly going in with three centers is something you need to do. And I know Trey Lyles can slide over and play some five, but this is one of those players that you look around the league and you're like, okay, you know, you might like him. You might like a guy like Dominic Barlow. That's a guy who always stands out to me from San Antonio, who's still he's coming off a two-way contract. So he's a restricted two-way player, but, you know, these guys that might have potential if given an opportunity in a new spot. And look at what he did at Fresno State. I mean, Fresno State, he was very good. It's like 19.4 points, 8.4 rebounds, like 2.8 assists, shot 35% from three in his junior year. Like, all of these things kind of point to a player that you're at least intrigued by. And he shot a lot of threes, too. He shot, like, well over 100 threes at the college level in his final year. And so there's a potential for him to be, if not a guy that finds himself into your rotation, like you were saying, Kenny, he might be, like, an archetype of a player that you want to try next to Sabonis, you want to try next to Lyles, you want to try next to some of these other players and see if a player like him, whether it's him or some different version down the road, like, works.
You talk about players that you could be intrigued by earlier this afternoon, and it had kind of fallen quiet on this front. But the New York Post brought Cam Johnson's name back out there. And for the second time, from a second different reporter, the Sacramento Kings have been linked to this. I think Kings fans, and I think Kenny led with this when we got that alert, is of the remaining realistic possibilities, Cam Johnson feels like it's the one. Like, that could be a potential, like, defining moment for the Sacramento Kings should they somehow land Cam Johnson from the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, so I don't. He's not one of my favorite guys that they could go get. I think there are better players that you can go get or that you might be able to go get at a certain point in the season. But I certainly, when I look at Cam Johnson, I do think, like, if you were to take Kevin Huerter and trade him for Cam Johnson and not have to give up first round picks, maybe give up something else, a second or something, that to me is a lateral move that helps, like, rebalance your roster. I'm not sure that you can get that done, but that's kind of a deal that I would look at, where, like, you're even talent wise, I don't know that he's, like, a far superior talent overall than Kevin Huerter, but I do know that, you know, DeMar DeRozan is more of a 2-3, and the same thing goes with Kevin Huerter, and you probably could use more of a 3-4. And just, again, to rebalance your roster, Cam Johnson can certainly shoot the ball at a really high clip. I think he would also, like, if you were to start him alongside Keegan Murray, you would have really, really high level switchable forwards that could, you know, it wouldn't matter who they're defending. They're going to be able to swap onto each other's, opposing player. So I think that's one thing that is really intriguing. And also, I think he's okay with who he is as a player, just being a guy who shoots a corner three, has an occasional breakout dunk and stuff like that. You're not looking for someone who will compete for touches with Keegan Murray, but someone who will probably complement and help him sort of raise his value over the next couple of years. That's as far as Keegan. So I don't hate him as a player. Again, if you're going to go to, like, a Kyle Kuzma, Kyle Kuzma would probably stunt the growth of Keegan Murray over the next 2 years. That's just kind of the way it would go. He's a more of a scorer, a natural scorer, and someone you would rely on for that. But look, if you're going to go DeMar DeRozan and Domantas Sabonis in the same starting lineup, you need as many shooters as possible. And so, like, why not Cam Johnson if that is a possibility?
Casey, who do you like? You said he's not your favorite of guys they could go get. Who are some of your favorites?
Well, I mean, I think, like, if I were to list them, like, in a rank, I think I would probably take, of all the guys who have been mentioned this summer, which, you know, again, I love Lauri Markkanen as a player, but I don't think he helps you defensively at all. But talk about, like, a perfect fit next to Domantas Sabonis as an offensive player. I really, really like Brandon Ingram. I just don't like the contract that he's going to want moving forward. And so that one's a little treacherous. Kyle Kuzma, I've been honest a million times with you guys. Like, I love Kyle Kuzma's contract, but I want to know that Kyle Kuzma is 100% bought in, which is something that I think has followed him throughout his career, whether, you know, it's about winning or whether it's about something else with him. And so, like, all of these guys, the reason why they might potentially be available is there's some sort of pitfall to them, right? There's some sort of, I don't want to say there's something wrong with them.
There's warts.
I mean, the warts don't have to be as a player. The warts can be as a contract, you know, like, or the fact that, you know, again, Lauri Markkanen, you can put Cam Johnson, same thing, and Brandon Ingram, those guys, you know, they play 60 games a year, like, historically. And if you're a team that has, like, really, really good, like, high level aspirations, man, you need that to be 75, and you need them to be ready to play another 10 or 15 games after 75. And so that's where, you know, you start to, like, weigh all of these things. They all have something that is a little bit of a drawback. And so I don't know, if I was ranking them, it would probably be, like, my personal would be Ingram and then Markkanen and then Kuzma and then Cam Johnson. But I certainly can understand why a guy like Cam Johnson and his ability to not be, like, too much, like, getting a starter who, you know, does what you're asking to do, basically a younger version of Harrison Barnes, and really does the things that you need him to do, but allows for a guy like Keegan Murray to maybe jump to 18 points a game this season and take that next step in his production.
I have something I want to ask you about Cam Johnson, but I feel like I gotta bring this news to the show, mainly because I want to know Damian's immediate reaction when he hears this. I gotta bring it up. Just give me a second. I got Cam Johnson. TNT has responded.
I saw that.
Oh, so you already read it? No.
I'm sorry. I didn't say I didn't see TNT's response. I saw the Athletic article.
Oh, okay.
So the Athletic article, James. Obviously, you're very hip to the fact that the league rights were announced. I'm anxious. I want to hear the. It's an actual TNT response.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's. I'll read to you what the Athletic wrote, and then I want to hear this TNT response. The NBA sent a letter to TNT, and they listed their reasons. This stood out to me. First, TNT wanted to put all of its games on cable network and its streaming service, Max. We talked about that, whereas Amazon is just a streaming service. Second, the NBA believes that Amazon's reach is greater. Two for two. Yeah. We hit that. Shout out to your boy, because he had this. Amazon offered to pay in full its first 3 years, while Warner Brothers Discovery, which is in debt, provided a 3-year line of credit.
Well, they don't. They people.
That's exactly what. But that's essentially exactly what Bill Simmons said.
People in Warner's pockets right now.
Warner Brothers Discovery disagrees with the NBA's assessment and is threatening a lawsuit.
That's pretty much what it was, right? It was. They say we have matched Amazon's offer as we have a contractually right to do, and do not believe the NBA can reject it. In doing so, they are rejecting the many fans who continue to show their unwavering support for our best-in-class coverage delivered through the full combined reach of WBD's video-first distribution platforms, including TNT, home to our four-decade partnership with the league, yada, 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 and Max, our leading stream service, yada, yada, yada. We think they have grossly misinterpreted our contractual rights. Yeah, and misinterpreted our contractual rights with respect to the 2025-2026 season and beyond, and we will take appropriate action. We look forward, however, to another great season of NBA on TNT and Max, including our iconic Inside the NBA.
That statement was written in Comic Sans, and it also has the NBA looking at it like, you broke, bitch, do what you want. You don't have the money. Like, you don't, you can't afford a lawyer. Get out of my face. James, sometimes.
That's exactly what I was looking for.
James, sometimes partnerships just need to end, and it's time for the NBA and the TNT Warner Brothers Discovery partnership to end, and they move on to something else. Like, it was a great run, and I'm sure Dave What's-His-Face wrote that, or whatever his name is. It was iconic. It's over. It's time to move on. You're too far behind the times right now. Mm-hmm. It's time to move on. And you told everybody you didn't need the NBA.
Yeah, don't ever forget that.
So enjoy tennis and AEW. James, do you know what AEW is?
No.
Good, because now it's TNT's biggest property. Keep it moving.
Oh. Yeah, this is a tough one because I understand, you know, TNT wanting to keep their rights and do everything they can do to hang on here. But there's also, if they do have a contract that gives them the right of first refusal, like, this could get interesting. I mean, it, if nothing else, it could be a court battle that
they can't match.
Well, it wasn't the right of first refusal. It was the right to match. And they matched in their mind.
And didn't they pass that up? Didn't they have the exclusive negotiating
they
rights?
They allowed TNT and ESPN allowed the NBA to talk to its other partners other potential partners, NBC and Amazon, during the process, yes. But they got permission to do that.
Right.
They got permission from both networks to do that.
They don't have a leg to stand on.
I don't think that they do.
The NBA said it perfectly. The reach of Amazon and their subscriber base is something that Warner can't match up with.
Also, yeah, I'm not chasing you around for monthly payments on a $2.2 billion.
We're not putting this on layaway. So sorry.
Sorry, James. Go ahead.
I think, though, contractually, that's where the league might have some sort of issue, because, like, if they do have the right to match, which is the equivalent of a right of first refusal. Right. So, like, if they have an ability to match, like, you can't talk about specifics of matching, like, unless it's written into the contract that this is exactly what the specifics mean for you to match. It's going to be an interesting lawsuit. Like, it's not just cut and dry. If I'm the league, you can say what you want, like, publicly, but it's probably not as cut and dry, because, again, when these contracts were written, what was this streaming? Was streaming even mentioned? But what type of streaming? What kind of platform for streaming? How can you use that as a comparison for streaming? You can say that they offer a bigger streaming service and a better, like, display of your product, and your product can have more households. But if that's not written into the basis of what matching would be, then I'm not sure that they can hide by that.
You would know maybe a little bit better than I would, because you live in the house with a lawyer. But I could flip that around and be like, you may interpret that as saying matching meaning just money. Like, I didn't say if you matched money that you would be able to do it. I say just match the offer. You didn't match the offer. They're offering more houses to be in with their subscriber package. They're offering me more this and that, this and that. All you could do is match the money. That's not the whole offer.
Yeah, but that's where I'm saying that there could be some gray area here that the NBA is trying to play in, that TNT can also play in. They can say, hey, look, that's not part of what matching means.
Well, you should have wrote that.
Who
into,
cares?
You should have wrote that into the contract.
My feeling is
to be specific.
My feeling is there is no gray area. I feel like the NBA has specific language and they know it, because they announced the television deal today. Like, they sent, as you're well aware of, you got the press releases. We all did. They sent out the press release. They're not frightened by they know they
what
have.
What they say? That's what they say. What did NBA say?
I don't remember. I swear to God. Broke bitches. Get out of my face. Yeah. Yeah, I think I've exceeded the number of bitches allowed per show, so we've got to Kenny keep calling for the replay button. But I think the NBA is they had specific language that they knew, because Kenny and I, like, our thing is we've discussed this through the last several months has always been, you know, if TNT is going to match, TNT wants to operate in the gray area because you can't match NBC's deals, because NBC's deal is very, very clear. Dollar figure isn't a thing. And this is why I think TNT is more aware of this gray area than we might be giving them credit for. You might be giving them credit for, because they didn't try to match NBC's. They can't match ESPN's. That's not allowed. They didn't try to match NBC's because the NBC's like, you can't offer two games on network television. Like, you literally can't do that. You can't match the offer. And I think that's what the NBA is saying about Amazon. You can match the money with your little layaway payments, but you can't actually match the offer.
Well, yeah, but the problem that the NBA will have is that if there's a monetary value attached to the offer, households, the reach, that doesn't matter because that's not monetary.
Go get your wife. Not... I'm sick of this. Go get Mrs. Ham immediately.
I'm just saying.
Well, you can. I mean, if I'm the NBA, I talk about projected value based on subscriber base. So I can project you TNT. You show me what you project to bring in with your little sorry max, and I'll say this is what Amazon's projecting to bring in with their 150 more subscribers worldwide than you have, and you can't match up. They can't match up. They don't really want numbers, because if you really get into numbers, they can't match up.
I want to make sure I got this specific phrasing right, because this might be the most important part. James, did somebody get traded? Because you're either frozen or you've been staring at your phone for a long time. Is Cam Johnson on his way?
No, I just keep getting phone calls. So yeah, it's
okay. Do you have to take a call?
No, we're good. We're good.
Okay. Does his last name start with McNair? Do you need to answer that? Is his last name a color? No? No? All right, fine.
Not today.
Just put him on speakerphone. What was three line of credit? So here's where I feel like, and we'll get back to the Kings. Here's where I feel like the ultimate, Trump card is.
Oh, no.
Bro, you're in debt.
Yeah.
How stupid would we look as a company to sign an 11-year agreement with a company that's in debt?
I think the end. I think TNT saving face.
Yeah. I don't know.
Go get your wife.
I worked for NBC forever, and I know that there was debt, and like every one of these companies have some sort of debt. That's how the world works. So. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the fact that Amazon can just buy whatever they want, Amazon could do is, well, they could just bump up the price. They could go full Chris Hansen trying to buy the Kings.
Look, the NBA and Amazon may not want to do this or whatever, but they were like, all right, fine. Since we can't agree, it's a bidding war. And then
Warner Brothers Discovery loses.
You'll get them out that way.
And then they just tell Amazon. The crazy part is contracts. The announcement was made today. Contracts have clearly been signed.
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
we'll take appropriate.
The NBA is
see
not
you
scared.
In court.
Yeah, they are.
And attorney at law Adam Silver's like, yeah, all right,
yeah, cool. We in fact, my lawyers,
litigious group.
Yeah, my lawyers can have the day off. I'll do this one on my own.
I got this.
I haven't been in a courtroom for a while. I'll do this one on my own.
Oh, man. So, but back to Cam Johnson, because I did want to ask James this. He talked about, you know, the ideal situation for being able to acquire him. Would you give up a first round pick in Kevin Huerter for Cam Johnson?
I have a really tough time doing that. Again, Cam Johnson's he probably fits your roster better, or he does fit your roster better. But that doesn't mean that Kevin Huerter doesn't maybe fit their roster better too. Cam Johnson's on a 3-year deal. It's declining scale, which is all like very good, but it's also more than what Kevin Huerter makes. Yeah, I mean, it depends. Like, I'm not going as high as a pick, as a first round pick, but I would consider maybe a pick swap, maybe a couple of second round picks, like something below that value. But, you know, Cam Johnson makes 23.6 this year, 21.6 next year, and then it goes back up to 23.6. Kevin Herter, I think you're at 17 and 18 and a half over the next 2 years. So really, like, in basketball standards, there's not that big of a difference between these two. Like, you could make a trade straight up and, you know, probably push you over the luxury tax. But you could actually make the deal without including any other players. But like, look, I think that, like, this is a lateral move that probably just would fit your team better. And I'd like to know, like, you know, we're talking about a team that just picked up not one, not two, but three of your assistant coaches. One of which is now the head coach and Jordy Fernandez, but also Dutch Gately and David Zdolkis. Like, they would have a definite opinion on Kevin Herter and how he would A, fit or B, not fit, and whether they would actually, you know, go that route. You know, it's sort of a lateral move. And I would say a lateral move for both teams. Again, Cam Johnson's 28 years old. I think you look at him and you think, and your memory of him as him being a younger player than he is, but, you know, he's a couple of years older than Kevin Herter. And again, he hasn't been healthy throughout his career. So again, I don't hate the move because I think it would balance.
Sure,
your
sounds
roster.
Like it.
I think it would give you a starting level, forward and allow you to move DeMar DeRozan into the backcourt. Mm-hmm. Where then your backcourt, I think, would be just flat out nasty with Fox and DeRozan with Keon Ellis and Monk coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. And it would just, I think it would bolster the depth, the length, athleticism, all that stuff is there with Cam Johnson. But, I'm always concerned a little bit about, you know, again, you're talking about a player who has not, like, historically been able to stay all that healthy throughout his career.
We'll come back. We'll talk more with our insider, James Hamm, as he continues to crap all over our hopes and dreams here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Our cut-and-paste ability is elite. Like, it's legit elite. We have a football segment we plan next week that we just never got to. It was planned for Monday. We made it all the way to Friday. We never used it. We've had a football segment planned Monday, Tuesday, and today. It's been moved till Thursday, and your guess is as good as mine.
The NBA just keeps doing its thing.
We'll save it for the day we do 4-4 out for the playoffs and all that.
No, 4-4 out is fun. 4-4 out is about that's like 4 months away. Oh, I didn't look.
No,
I didn't look. I got
that's a Zabo job.
Yeah, I can't. I'm sure I could find the rundown in which we did the 4-4 out. We usually list them.
Well, there's probably like 6 days of because we just had to keep transferring out.
Well, I just cut and paste.
Just love how Kenny made Zabo the D'Lo and Casey official historian, yeah. Too. Right?
No,
now.
No, that's what we do. We
said, like, yeah, Zabo will do it.
No, that's fine. Historian. It's just like Will Z. Hey, Will, we need a number. Like we've just outsourced all of our. We got our Photoshop expert and Dr. David. We got our video expert in Zabo. We got our numbers guy in Will Z.
It really is a family. It's a community.
Odyssey got Warner Brothers Discovery money, so we're just. We're just out here trying to get by. Out here trying to get by. And James is crapping all over the idea of Cam Johnson. He hates Cam Johnson. He said it during the commercial break. For those who weren't with us, he said, God, I can't stand that guy. You did say it was a lateral move. And that was, I'm kidding, by the way. You did say it was a lateral move, but it balanced out the roster. Wouldn't balancing out the roster make the team better? Just by default? Okay.
Well, yeah, and that's where I would also say, like, look, if you're looking at all of the other options, the other, like, two or three options that may or may not ever come available, I don't know, like, who knows what's going to happen. I don't think Lauren Markkanen will ever become available until next summer, and then I think he'll be available to the highest bidder, and the Kings don't have free agent money. And the same with Brandon Ingram. I think Brandon Ingram, that whole situation there is a mess. Mm-hmm. In New Orleans, and who knows what's going to happen. And I also think it's very possible that Kyle Kuzma just continuously plays out his entire career in Washington, and we never hear from him ever again. Mm-hmm. It'll be like he vanished from the NBA world because he's in Washington where the basketball is bad and no one really cares. Mm-hmm. So like all of those things are possible. I definitely think like if your goal is to A, support Keegan Murray, and B, promote Keegan Murray to become a better player long term, then a player like Cam Johnson makes a lot more sense than a player like Kyle Kuzma or Lauri Markkanen or name that Brandon Ingram, like whoever, all of those big name guys. Like overall your talent increases with those, but what that could mean for Keegan Murray could be detrimental, where I think as of right now, like it's tough to see Keegan Murray. He's your fourth option on with the starters as of today. But there's also a possibility that he becomes like a fourth, fifth option with the starters, which is, I don't think what you want. I think you want him to start to continue to take these leaps and bounds forward. Mm. So that's why I've always been of the opinion like, hey, I really like the idea of Keon Ellis starting, because Keon Ellis is going to take, 6 to 7 shots, maybe 8 shots a game. In like some crazy world, he might take 8 shots in a game, but that's not going to be consistent. It'll be more like 6.5, 7 shots a game. And that provides more shots for your other 4 guys who are in that starting unit, who are all capable of going for 30 on any given night. A couple of them are capable of going 40 or 50. So like that starting unit is going to be very difficult to get extra shots in. And that's where a guy like Cam Johnson, who is almost willing to take less of a role. I mean, look, that Brooklyn Nets team last year was not good, and they needed someone to step up and take a bunch more shots. And Cam Johnson wasn't able to do that, even though he played in 58 games. Like that's, you know, it stands out that way. I think he makes a lot more sense with DeMar DeRozan on your roster, as opposed to going out and getting one of those other guys without DeMar. Like once you brought in DeMar, that kind of alleviated the need for you to have another bulk scorer. And for whatever player that you're bringing in to be a huge scoring or a huge playmaking threat, I think that you're going to get that out of DeMar DeRozan, and it might allow you to go chase a player that you weren't going to chase as hard before, because now you have someone to sort of fill up that those other needs that you have.
Do you feel like this team at this point is, you know, we hear they're, you know, interested in Cam Johnson, but outside of that, do you think they're kind of good, like going into the season with the roster as is and still having that option and that flexibility to make a move at the trade deadline if need be? Like if the right deal for Cam Johnson comes across, great, but they're not really pressed. They signed Malik Monk back. They went out and got DeMar DeRozan. And as far as the offseason goes, they may be about done. And they'll save, you know, whatever assets and whatever chips they have for a potential trade deadline upgrade. You think that's kind of how they're looking at things?
Yeah, it's possible that that's where they're sort of heading at this point. But I also think, like, look, if someone calls tomorrow and says, hey, how about we go revisit this trade? Kings are going to be like, okay, what do we got? Like, how do we work through this? You know, again, if Washington comes down in price for Kyle Kuzma, if the Brandon Ingram thing is really complicated because of how much money he makes. And for the Kings to go out and get Brandon Ingram, even like this season, it would take a lot. It would take Kevin Huerter. It would take probably Trey Lyles. And you would have to wait 60 days from the date that you traded for Jalen McDaniels to add Jalen McDaniels into the trade. So it, you know what I mean? It would take a lot to actually get him because he makes $34-36 million. Where again, the Kuzma deal or some of these other trades, these other transactions, even Lauri Markkanen only makes like $18 or $19 million. They all fall within the parameters of being able to trade maybe Kevin Huerter and one low level player, one low level as far as salary included to go get a player like that.
I'm with James, and I don't think Markkanen gets traded.
I don't think
certainly
so
not
either.
Now.
I definitely don't think so either. And there,
the Warriors' name stays out there. We talk about that tomorrow, but like, and I actually think it was your boy James Mark Stein. I was like, yeah, it's not dead, but part of me feels like that's Utah. Utah is trying to keep this alive because they want. I don't know if they want Kuminga and Pot. They want something from Golden State. That Golden State's clearly like. No.
Yeah, I think it feels like there's just a stalemate. Like nobody, there's no upgraded offers for either side because there's one.
It's 1v1. Yeah, there's none. There's no reason to upgrade.
I think there's also, like I've mentioned this before, there's a lot of concern that Markkanen wants to go into free agency, and we also talked about there's this like one day this year where he can sign an extension and still be traded. Outside of that, it becomes like really murky and what you're doing with him.
Is it August 6th? Is that the significance?
I think it's August 6th. Yeah. And then you have to wait 6 months from that date. And so you got to fit it in before the trade deadline. So I don't know. I read the same thing you guys do. And some of these deals just like if the Warriors are like holding back on trading for Lauri Markkanen and the reason is Podziemski, then like, what are we doing here? Yeah, I mean, that's, I hate to say this. That's not Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. That's, you know,
but what if
Podziemski is a nice player, but like, what if I don't understand why you would hold back.
What if it's Pods and Kuminga? Like that, maybe they're offering Kuminga and they're like, no, we want Pods too. Would you do it? Okay. I don't think I'd do that.
You're trading two rotational players for an all-star. I think you do. For a 27-year-old all-star. I mean, the question is, can you lock him up to a long-term deal? And so I'm trading two rotational players for, you know, yeah, they're young. But same time, there's no guarantee that either one of those guys ever crack anywhere near all-star level. And if you're giving up first-round picks as well. I mean, there's a ton of other stuff included in that. But if you're the Golden State Warriors, like, your window is like 96.5% closed. Like, if you're going to try to, you know, stick your foot in the door and keep it open, it's got to be to add a really top tier talent. It's not to wait to see what Kuminga and Pajemski can be, at least in my book. I mean, you can fall in love with those guys all you want, but be realistic. And, you know, you start talking about, they think Pajemski is going to be an all-star in the Western Conference. Have they looked at the guards in the Western Conference? Because I don't think he's going to be an all-star in the Western Conference. Maybe I'm crazy, but you know, there's potential. Like, I know people are like, hey, Pajemski and Kuminga have potential, but Lauri Markkanen is a proven commodity. You would average, what, 25 and 8, like, not last year, but the year before.
I mean,
I'm not there with Lauri. Like, he's good. There's no question. Yeah. How come no one brings up his injury history or his missing games history?
He finally started playing when he got to Utah.
How come no one brings that up, though? Because it's one of the first things that comes up
earlier.
Well, you do. Yeah. Well, I know, James. I'm being liberal with the use. How come no one brings it up?
Yeah.
But, like, it's the first thing that's brought up with Brandon Ingram. I don't know. I know Markkanen's good. I don't question Markkanen's good. But, man, Danny's asking for a lot, dude. And I actually don't fault the Warriors for this. If they don't, and maybe that tells you something, by the way. If the idea of losing Kuminga and Pods and then everything else that they would have to get up, maybe they don't feel like Markkanen takes them to that championship level. Like, because I feel like if they did, it's like, yeah, they're like, James, all right, do it. But if it doesn't get them back to being a champion, why do it?
Well, but see, the other thing I would say real quick, James, is we talked about this with Golden State. You're keeping Curry, you're keeping Draymond Green, you've made your decision. You need to be trying to do everything you can to compete. Like, I think that's kind of the issue with them right now. They're trying another two timelines thing, and it's just wasting everybody's time. You've got Steph Curry. You might as well, like, go after it. Going after Lauri Markkanen is going after it.
Sure.
And you can worry.
But what if they don't think it is?
Well, that's another discussion.
Because someone in Golden State's office has to think like James does. Like, let's do it.
I mean,
like,
I can't imagine.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And someone else in the office, perhaps with more power, is like, I don't think he's the guy. Like, does he replace Clay? Does he give us back? Okay, great. We ain't going to say this out loud, but Draymond ain't Draymond no more. Like, who's going to fill out the rest of what we're doing?
Bro, Pods ain't even starting as it is. Like, the way I've seen it right now, they got Buddy Hield as its starting two guard.
Flamethrower?
I would also, like, I would have them, like, raise your hand if you were on board with the Jordan Poole extension. Like, who in the room said yes? And then if they're the same people who are saying don't trade this guy or don't trade that guy, then I'm like, okay, well, we got to do what's right for the team, the franchise. And realistically, you got to do what's right for Steph to a certain degree, because like, that might be the real answer. Is like, well, go become the next level Utah Jazz, where you go trade Steph Curry for 5 or 6 first round picks and reboot the good old fashioned way. And if you want to have Pajemski and you know, whoever it is, Kuminga or, you know, Jackson Davis, is like, that's your next generation while you're not going to be good for a few years. Okay. That's fine. Let those guys grow into who they might become. And maybe you do hit it rich again, but it's just tough. Like, I think that teams like the Warriors, who build a team a specific way one time, where they go out and they draft Steph and they draft Clay and they draft Draymond and they kept hitting, right? They kept hitting these really, really solid base hits that became like grand slams. Like, you think you can do it again, and then you start projecting some of that onto these young players that you have. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good idea. Like, value your players correctly. And it's something that I know that Monty McNair is like, he learned this with Houston Rockets. Never overvalue your own free agents. Never overvalue your own players. Mm-hmm. And when something's not working, move off of it. It's okay. It's okay to admit a mistake. Just don't let that mistake drag you down. And that doesn't seem to be the way that everyone feels. And even like, look, you went out and the Malik Monk contract, there's not going to be a day where the Malik Monk contract looks bad.
Mm-hmm.
At least not in my book. Like, no. And if it does, something went horribly wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, he is that good of a player and you were able to retain him. Now, Malik Monk at $30 million, there could become a point where that doesn't look nearly as good. Look at the Golden State Warriors have done. Look at how they overpaid Wiggins, not once, but I think twice. Like, they've overpaid their own talent. Like, if the Jordan Poole thing is so grossly overpaid. And we're talking about Kuminga like he's like the next coming of something there. And at the same time, where's his rookie scale extension? Because I don't think he's got one of those either. And so, like, how much do you believe in him? Mm-hmm. How much am I supposed to believe you believe in him if you're not even willing to do that at this point? And so it's really a like complicated mess. But, I think the Kings are in a good situation because they've taken a prudent approach, and then they've taken swings when they can. And again, if something doesn't work out, Davion Mitchell doesn't work out, you move off the pick and you don't sit there and act like it's a huge big deal that you moved off it. Same thing with Chris Duarte. You gave it 2 second round picks for Chris Duarte and then dumped him as part of a salary. Well, as part of a matching deal to get you to DeMar DeRozan. Yeah. Like, you can't live in the what if. You got to like come to a realization of what you have and what you don't and move forward.
Yeah.
You took two shots at Jordan Poole in that.
I noticed that too. I didn't notice that. Jordan Poole, let's be perfectly clear. Jordan Poole is way better than Pods. And when Jordan Poole was helping them win a championship, Pods ain't never looked that good.
I agree. I don't want to defend Jordan Poole too hard because I have a lot of questions about.
You think he's a guy that could be number one on a championship team?
Stop it. Stop it.
Jordan Poole at 4 years and $80 million is one thing, but that's not what they gave him.
No, I know.
That's the problem.
I know. I thought Jordan was really good, but there's also just weird stuff out there about him. Like, mm-hmm. we point to the Draymond Green incident, and I think that's perfectly fair, by the way. Mm-hmm. But I think there was also other stuff that maybe just people didn't dig him.
Yeah.
And, like, that's problematic, but...
Yeah.
From a basketball standpoint, he was a solid ball player.
Jordan Poole, what did he do
for a season? That really, really.
Oh no, I think he had 2 seasons, and he had been in the league, I think, three or four. The year they won the championship, he was really good. People talk about how bad the next year was. Yeah, I think he averaged like 20 that year.
Hmm.
He was like their third leading scorer off the bench.
Yeah, his career is 8.8, 12 points, 18.5, and then 20.4, and then they traded him last year, he averaged 17. The problem was that every year he became less efficient. Like, the second you gave him the big contract, he became less and less efficient. So his three-point percentage dropped, his shooting percentage dropped overall. Just a lot of things didn't look the same. So, yeah.
Yeah, he got punched in the face by his teammate in his – team they, yeah. and then that teammate made a documentary about it.
No, he really
and
did.
Neither That's the league nor the team seemed to care.
yeah totally bizarre, like, what happened there, but either way.
And then the team re-signed him, and that's that I'll never ever get
that's
over.
That's gonna be the part that
team re-signed Draymond Green. That's the part I will never ever ever understand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, and again, like, Jordan Poole at 4 years and $80 million, that's fine. But Jordan Poole out there making 30, 32 and $34.5 million over the next 3 years. Like, that's just, it's extreme money. You gave him frontline starter, like, like star money, and he wasn't. So
I mean,
be realistic about your players.
I think the Warriors do want Lauri Markkanen. There's way too much. There's way too much out there for them to not want Lauri Markkanen. I also think Danny Ainge is trying to take advantage of the situation. That's what Danny does, and some would argue that's Danny's job. But it, I guess shout out to Mike Dunleavy, who's just kind of not falling for it. He was like, the Kings might be out of this thing. I don't know who else is in on this. Here's your offer, which is essentially what the Kings did. The Kings were like, here's the offer. Mm-hmm. The difference between the Kings and the Warriors was the Kings said, look, if you don't got a response, cool. We're out. We're going to get DeMar. Yeah. And that's what they did. I don't know if they told Danny that, but that's what they did.
Danny found out like everyone else.
Might have. Following D'Lo and KC.
That's it. That's it. Right. Make sure you do that. So, James, I mean, we'll definitely talk more or whatever, but, like, you know, what's really next? Is it really nothing until the schedule release? And obviously, the Olympic basketball, you know, situation is going to have everybody's attention. They probably won't have much of any moves going on for the next couple weeks. But
can you imagine being Bam Adebayo playing in the gold medal game and you get traded or something?
Wasn't that
you're being in Paris and you get traded by your team?
Remember
crazy.
On D'Lo and KC, we were tracking with Dame Lillard's flight.
That's right. Yeah, because Dame he was off to USA, right?
Yeah, and it was like if it's gonna happen, it needs to happen before I get on this plane.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It didn't happen. So I mean, what's next? Schedule release, I guess, when everybody gets back home.
I guess.
Yeah, we're going to get scheduled release next month. The Kings might sign two or three more players like what we just saw with
Orlando Robinson caliber players.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I think Darius Bazley got waived today by the Utah Jazz. That's a guy that, like,
me and James
Darius Bazley.
Take a chance.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys out there like that, though, like that you might take a flyer on at this point. But you also have to keep in mind, well, remember, everyone should remember, like, it used to be that you could only carry 20 players into camp. Now you can carry up to 21. That includes your standard roster players and your two-way contracts. So as of right now, the Kings have 17 players. They can still bring in four more players. For camp, they can also sign a guy and then waive him and give him a bonus and open that roster spot back up. So maybe you see that with like a guy like Boogie Ellis, or maybe you see that with a Drew Timmy or something like that, or they might try to acquire the G League rights to a guy like Timmy. You know, there's all kinds of like smaller transactions that could happen. But I also like, I think as of right now, I'll take Monty McNair at his word that the core is pretty much set for this season, but that doesn't mean that somebody can't be added to the core. That doesn't mean that there isn't a player who isn't what you would consider a core player, because I think we know what their core is at this point, which is Fox. It's Monk. It's now DeMar DeRozan. It's Sabonis and it's Keegan Murray. So you can still make moves off of that, knowing that you can improve your core.
Your front core, your side core, your back. I think the Marine Corps actually uses this.
There it is.
Jesse gets the reference.
Is this an office?
Yes, okay, it's an office.
I thought it was funny just from you.
It's an office reference. Thank you to James Hamm of the Insiders. Make sure you're tapped in beginning at 10 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to run it back. We know we're going to do something else.
Yankees Mets?
The network.
We're great. We're going to the network. That'll put some butts in the seats.
That little hacking thing or whatever the issue was over the weekend really did the numbers. So we're still
We're still recovering from CrowdStrike or whatever it was.
And none of the people who fixed it are here.
Yeah, and CrowdStrike apparently affected our paycheck too. We'll see you tomorrow here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos a gigantes.
No.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments, Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.